Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Pastor Fred. Thank you for coming and listening to our program. We are looking at Perspectives on the Bible. It is now the fourth day of November in the year 2010. Amazing. I was born in 1947, so when you're talking about 2010, to me, it's an amazing date. I am absolutely awestruck at times that I reached this age of 63. At one time, I thought that 40 would be old, then 50, now 60, now 70. And I pray God that I live to 103 years old. I really do. I have no problem with living in this life. And I hope you have the same feeling. This is a wonderful earth. This is a wonderful life. We have a wonderful body. We have a wonderful mind. We have a wonderful ability to be like God. And our feelings, our touch, our emotion, our love, our hate, everything, everything, a reflection of God. What a wonderful, wonderful existence. Now, I say this in the context of what I would say is the central piece of all true life, which is self-examination, self-reflection, and I believe that from that comes a profound sense of humility and an awesome sense of thanksgiving. Based upon self-examination. You see, my brothers and sisters, I believe wholeheartedly, and I share this with you today, in the fact that we were created by God in the image of God, and that we are awesome creatures of light, awesome creatures of power, awesome creatures of potential, and that every single individual human person, every single human person, everyone, Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist, everyone, is created in the image and likeness of God by God himself. And I'm sorry to say it's himself, but that's what the Bible doesn't regard God as God as she, but he. But nonetheless, let's not get all involved about sex because God has no sex. But that's not the point. The point is the awesomeness of life, the wonderfulness of life, the fantasticness of life. And this writer, this speaker, wants to tell you that as we look at Why Faith Matters, Why Faith Matters, a book by David J. Volpe, W-O-L-P-E, put out by Harper One, or Harper Merle, whatever you want to call that. It's available on the internet and available on Amazon.com. I don't get any residuals from this. Yes, if you click on the button, if you buy this from Amazon or somebody, I think I get 6 cents. I don't think, and I have not even gotten 6 cents. I've done this for 6 or 7, 8 months, and I haven't gotten one six cents yet. I haven't gotten even 6 cents. So don't think about, you know, you're making this guy rich. That's not the point. And if you think that, then just shut off the radio. Why bother? If you're so suspicious of me and so violent toward me, then, hey, shut it off. Get over that. What I'm talking about is Why Faith Matters, David J. Volpe. And I'm offering it to you as this life, my individual life, personal life, offered to you as a gift through this Blog Talk Radio show to try to say to you something that might, by God's grace, have meaning and purpose for you so that you, the listener, can have a true and complete and powerful life. The whole purpose of everything that I do on this program, everything that I say, is not about me. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with you. It has everything to do with my understanding of my own life. Now, let me tell you what that is. My understanding of my own life is that I am called to be a servant, a slave of Jesus, a doulos. That's a Greek word for slave, a bond slave, completely owned by Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And that my task in life is to bring you the good news concerning Jesus, who is your Savior, who is your Lord. And I can tell you that I am most free, I am most relieved, I am most released, I am most empowered, I am most alive when I am completely subjected and completely enslaved to Jesus Christ. There is no other possibility for me other than to say that as a total doulos, a slave of Jesus, I find my completion, my fulfillment, and my meaning in life. Now, many people are running around in life saying, what is the meaning and purpose of life? Dr. David Volpe, Rabbi Volpe, talks about why faith matters and giving meaning to life. And I want to encourage you to get this book. I think it's the best book you can ever read. I know that once you get it, you will never let it go. You will never loan it to anyone. You won't. You will encourage other people to buy it. But to lose this book, to let this book go, is just not possible. You're not going to loan it out from your library. Even for those you love, I think you're going to keep it and to require them to give it back to you. But it's a great book, a fabulous book. I think one of the greatest books written in the last 10 or 15 years or so. I think it was written in 1992, so it's almost 20 years old. A wonderful, wonderful book. Please get a hold of your own copy. Go to the library. It's free. Get it out. Read it. You will probably copy it on a Xerox copier. So why bother with that? Go on Amazon.com and buy your own used copy of a book that you will never, ever, once you have read it, release from your possession, because it's such a book of greatness and of strength and power. Okay, I want to thank you for coming in. We're looking at this book, Why Faith Matters, David J. Volpe. I'm going to be going into a little bit of a dialogue about evolution and how I think that intertwines with Dr. Volpe's chapter on Why Faith Matters, where does religion come from, although I'm only touching on 1% of what Dr. Volpe says, Rabbi Volpe says, in his chapter. I'm not even revealing to you any of the book, nothing, zero. So if you want to know what he says, you have to buy the book. I'm just commenting on one little teensy-weensy piece of what he has to say in the chapter on where does religion come from. And I encourage you to get the book. Let's listen to our opening music. I know it took me a long time to get there to the opening music, but Hope, Faith, and Courage by the Brothers of Faith, downloaded by me from dmusic.com, freeware, free music to be used at random. And I think it's a great song, great sound, and I wish the Brothers of Faith, I pray the Brothers of Faith, I hope for the Brothers of Faith that they will gain a foothold in the Christian music area. And it's a huge area, a great opportunity for them because they have a great sound and a great message to the Christian music community. So let's pause for a minute. Stay with us. Please stay with us. And don't turn away. Stay with us. And then we'll look at evolution and a viewpoint of evolution that I'm inspired to talk about from the chapter of Dr. Volpe's book relative to Why Faith Matters. Stay with us. Please stay with us. This is Reverend Fred back, Pastor Fred, and we're looking at Why Faith Matters. I just want to take an excursus from this section to talk a little bit to you about evolution. You know, I have been remarkably impressed with the success of the evolutionary theory in our public schools, elementary schools, high schools, colleges. It is, after all, a theory. Now, what is the context of what I'm talking about? I am not anti-science, and please don't accuse me of that. I find that highly insulting. And I am not anti-progress. That is also, don't accuse me of that either. I wholeheartedly disagree with that. Please remember that the Vatican Library has the Vatican has an observatory. The Vatican has an astronomer. I use the Vatican as the epitome of Christian faith. We are pro-science, pro-progress, pro-medical development, pro-genetics, pro-everything. We are in the forefront of the development of new and wonderful things. All the Christian church is saying to the scientific community and to the college community, the academic community, is get back to ethics. Get back to morals. Get back to a reasoned, rational approach to morals. And get back to a reasoned, rational approach to ethics. And then apply them to everyday life. Why? Because our society needs this. My academic friends in whatever college you're in, whether it's Harvard, a Christian-based school, whether it's Yale, a Christian-based school, whether it's Columbia University, a Christian-based school, whether it's Capital, a Christian-based school, even Rutgers University in New Jersey, in which the broadcast is located, a Christian-based, a Christian-founded school. I happen to be a Lutheran. So the 26 Lutheran colleges, there's many seminaries, a Christian-based concept. Why are you abandoning your Christianity? Why are you abandoning your first love? Why are you turning away from your foundations in order to follow after other gods, other authorities, other accrediting things? If you have God's accreditation, isn't that enough? Why do you need man's accreditation? So I encourage my schools in the Lutheran Church, my seminaries in the Lutheran Church, and the Catholic Church, Georgetown University, return to your first love, return to Jesus, return to that which the Lord would have you to have, return to the Vatican, return to the Pope, return to the Scholastic and the Humanistic and Erasmus and all of the rest of it. There's so much there. It's unbelievable quantities. We are cheating our children, cheating our grandchildren, Christian churches, universities, colleges, cheating those who follow us. We're cheating them. We're shortchanging them. We're doing them a disservice by not sticking to our foundations and then explicating, expanding, and explaining the present in terms of not what the present tells us is the reality, but in terms of what we have experienced, that which we have always known, that which we have always said, that which we have always believed, and that which we have always experienced is the truth. Jesus Christ, today and tomorrow and yesterday, forever the same, no different than the time when he walked the sandy roads of Galilee and entered into the cobbled streets of Jerusalem to meet his death by crucifixion on the cross of Calvary, where he said to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How God is gracious, good, and kind to have raised Jesus up and to have lifted him up, to have rolled the stone away, and to assured that his body has not seen corruption, and that although he has really actually died and therefore knows what it is to be dead. Now that's a very important thing. Who is there who is alive who knows what it means to be dead? Who is there who is breathing and speaking and still interactive with us, can fully explain from their perspective what the fullness and completeness and whateverness of death is? You see, when I die, when you die, my brothers and sisters, you will really die. And your body will go into the real grave. And they'll put a lot of sand and dust over your grave. You will be dead. Dead. And ultimately, your place will know you no more. You will be forgotten. So, the meaning and the purpose of life is the question, and I do not think, excuse me for this long discursion that I just experienced in the Holy Spirit. I'm not afraid of that. I will tell you on this radio program through this telephone device that I have in my ear that the last 5 or 8 minutes of this program have been completely in the Holy Spirit. I'm not even sure what I said. I'm not even sure what I expressed to you. I'm not even sure what I exultantly proclaim to you. All I can tell you is this. I pray for you that you would have the same charismatic Holy Spirit experience that I get every time I speak with you, every time I turn to the Lord. Every time I bend the knee, every time I prostrate myself before the Lord, every time I pray the rosary, yes, I am a prayer of the rosary. I'm a Lutheran, and I'm a prayer of the rosary. Yes, I turn to the Lord in prayer to St. Michael, even though I don't understand the meaning of that. That to me is meaningless, but somehow or other it has meaning because the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church in our world has accepted that reality. Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary, the virginal mother, and yet Mary, the mother of four or five other children, does not drive me crazy because Jesus is the center. Jesus is the focus. Jesus is the reason. And from that comes all under development and all other understandings. That's the whole point of everything that we do. And I pray God that as I'm looking down this group, that I may not miss anyone who's listening today, who's tuning in. I don't want to miss anyone. And so I'm praying to God, God, please. Thank you very much for keeping up with me. I want to continue on with our looking at the book of Why Faith Matters, David J. Volpe. Let's just take a moment here for With All I Am, the mid-program song, and then we're going to return to Dr. Volpe's book and Why Faith Matters. Big Bang. What we're saying here is that the human person is the logical development from nothing to something. And I would suggest to you that right away, as soon as you say it's a logical development from nothing to something, that the impossibility ends right at the beginning word, nothing. For no thing is no thing. And something does not come out of no thing. That's as simple, I can't even go any further than that. However, if we take paleontology and all the rest of the good stuff, the bones, all that good stuff, archaeology, all that, we get into the point of saying, you know, you hold up a dinosaur bone, and I'm not denying that there's dinosaurs. Of course, and all that the archaeologists and the gerontologists, who all of these people are, I don't even know. Forgive me for not knowing all the titles. I wish I could be like, have a staff and a list in front of me that tells you this is the title of this and the title of that. I just want you to get the concept. The concept is this. You and I do not, I do not live a million years. So when you say to me a million years, what does that mean? You tell me a billion years ago. I don't know what that means. Today's economy under the Obama administration, a trillion, 2 trillion, 8 trillion. I do not understand that. He's going to India this week. $2 billion a week. $200 million a day. I do not even understand that. I'm not stupid. But what does that mean? That the president travels overseas at $200 million a day. What does it mean that his entire trip to India and back is going to cost $2 billion? I can get on an Air India flight, fly to India, and come back. Now, this is just Fred, not the president of the United States. And I'm not going to take anything away from President Obama. I'm just using it as an illustration of the complexity of thinking here. Billions, trillions. It boggles awesome figures beyond comprehension. So now somebody says to you that human race is 800 million years older, 100 billion years, whatever. It means nothing. It means nothing. I know that I was born in 1947. So I know that in 1946, if you would say to my father and mother, where is Fred? They would say Fred does not exist. Fred is not. If you will say on April 1947, where is Fred? They will say he is in the crib. You see, from 1946 to 1947, I was conceived in the womb, and then I was born of my mother, and I became a living person. In 1947, they could point to the crib and say, there is Fred. So, what I'm trying to tell you is a perspective of reality, a perspective of time and space, a perspective of being inside of time and space, limited by time and space, recognized by time and space, determined by time and space, identified by time and space, and whatever words you want to use in that context. So that what I'm saying to you is that where does religion come from? It comes from the fact that the human person, when we get to grips with ourselves, if we do, we ask ourselves the fundamental question, why am I? What am I? And what am I to be doing? Why am I? There's no reason that you can empirically and absolutely state why am I. There is no reason why I must exist. Now, that's, as I say, there's no reason why I exist. I exist in the sexual relationship with my mother and father by God's grace giving me a soul and delivering me from my mother's body with my father's DNA and my mother's DNA and God breathing into me a living soul, a nefesh Yahweh, ruach Yahweh, you know, the book of Genesis. However, there is no absolute reason why I must exist. I do exist. I am existent. I'm happy to be existent, but there's no reason why I must exist. You see the emphasis on the words here, must. So now, we go on to say that, what does evolution say about that? Why I exist, who I am, and what I'm to be doing. They say it's a freak, it's an accident, it's a mistake, it's a willy-nilly, helter-skelter, serendipitous event that I happen to be conceived and born. Well, you know, that makes me an accident. It makes me my father's stripping down his leg, all that kind of stuff. It makes my mother's passion. Forget that. No. You and I, dear brothers and sisters, exist because we have a reason for existence. We exist because there is a purpose for our existence. Now, what is it? What is that reason? What is that purpose? The first reason is to the glory of God. Every human person, boy, girl, man, woman, older, younger, blonde, blue-eyed, brown-eyed, whatever, short, tall, fat, small, whatever, you are created, and by the very nature of your creation, you are to the glory of God. To see a human person is to see the glory of God. Secondly, we exist for a purpose. All lives are not meaningless. We're not just thrown upon the earth as some kind of a worm, and as the psalmist says, a worm and no man. No, we are created for a reason and a purpose. You have a reason for existence, and you have already existed for that reason, my dear listener. I don't know if you're 20 or 30 or 50 or 70, but whatever age you are, you have already exercised the reason for your existence. Your birth is a reason for existence. Your infancy is a reason for your existence. Your childhood is a reason for your existence. Your adolescence is a reason for your existence. Your teenage years is a reason for your existence. Your young adulthood is a reason for your existence. And then if you marry, your relationship with your spouse, the children you bear, the children that are born to you, and then your relationship with those children and the continuation of the human species, those are all the reasons for your existence. And each one of them, one follows the other in a progression. That is, there is a reason why you exist, a biological reason, a sociological reason, a conceptual reason, a religious reason. Now, on the religious area and the religious reason, you are created ipso facto. That's the way it is, for the glory of God. When a person of spiritual perception looks upon you, whoever you are, wherever you are, however you are, we see in you the image and likeness of God. That's the point. Now, if you are created in the image and likeness of God, what is your reason for being? Your reason for being is to give glory to and to reflect the glory of God. To give glory to and to reflect the glory of God. You are created for good. You are created as a blessing. You are created as an enrichment. You are created to bring about a improvement in the human condition. You are made for the purpose of improving the journey of faith, the journey of life, the journey of history of the entire human race. Even though you may not become a president or a senator or a congressman or governor, nonetheless, you are a human person created in the image and likeness of God for the purpose of bringing into this world the glory of God. Now, what is this glory of God? In relationship to yourself, it is the glory of yourself. It is the glory of yourself. You, whoever you are, whatever you do, whatever your job is, no matter low or high, big or small, no matter handsome or ugly, I mean, I don't even know the word ugly, but you understand that. I'm using it in a literary sense. Whether beautiful or not beautiful, whether male or female, thin or fat, whatever, and those are all words that I reject. As a matter of fact, I reject almost every word that I've just spoken. But anyway, to communicate the concept, you are created, no matter what your condition, you are created to bring glory to God and to bring a blessing to every person in every situation, in every moment. You are meant to be a blessing every day, every hour, every minute, every second of your life. And those people who come into your path, those people who cross your intersection, those people who interact with you are meant to be blessed by you. That's your job. That's your mission. Not to take, but to give, to reflect, to be a source of strength and power for others. Dr. Volpe, in his book, Why Faith Matters, deals with this in the chapter on where does religion come from. It's a wonderful chapter. I cannot even approach the erudition. I cannot even approach the experiential, existential theology that he presents there. I cannot even begin to touch the depth and the height and the breadth of what he talks about in this chapter. I want to encourage you, get this book, Why Faith Matters, David J. Volpe and Harper and Row, and get it at your library. Click on Amazon.com. Go to Barnes & Noble. Go to wherever you can get this. Borrow it from a friend. Get this book. Read this chapter. It is going to change your life and completely revolutionize your thinking upon the concept of why and who and what and all that concerning yourself. I've run out of time, my dear friends. I want to thank you for being with me. I know there was a little pause there in the middle of the program. I apologize for that. But being slain in the spirit is being slain in the spirit, and there's nothing I can do about that. When that happens, unless I have a spirit guide, unless I have a confessor with me, unless I have a spiritual director with me, then I am just under that charismatic thrall. And I hope you can bear that with me as you listen to this maybe for the second or third time, or share it with others. I'm Pastor Fred. You're listening to Perspectives on the Bible, Blog Talk Radio. And I want to thank Blog Talk Radio, its producers, its directors, its creators, its founders. This is an awesome, awesome, awesome vehicle for freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of being a person who wants to share good and wonderful things with another person. And Blog Talk Radio makes that possible. So please continue to listen. Now, I want to just make a last-minute pitch here. I don't know how this can be done. I don't know how it happens in these worlds, this internet and all that kind of thing. But if you would like this to be a three-hour day program, if you would like to have this program every day, if you think that it's worthwhile to hear Pastor Fritt every day, if you think the explanation and expansion of the biblical witness is worthy of something, then I understand this. It only costs $400 a year, of which I have $0. I have $0, but it only costs $400 a year. If you want to sponsor this program for one donation of $400, contact me. I don't know how. Yeah, I do not even know how you contact me, but let me know, and maybe we can make this a joint ministry, a joint blessing, a joint outreach, a joint expansion into the whole internet of the message of Blog Talk Radio's program called Perspectives on the Bible. I'm Pastor Fred. Thank you for being with us. And God bless you and keep you. And God make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And God lift his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me just ask that you join with me in just a quick prayer of the Rosary. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and the hour of our death. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in the most need of your mercy. Amen. Thank you for listening, and God bless you. Looking forward to hearing from you tomorrow, as we continue on with our Why Faith Matters, and we look at the next chapter of the Reverend Rabbi David J. Volpe's book, Why Faith Matters. Good night, and God bless.